forged from greatness and an iconoclastic passion comes Rodman by Aloha Sun. This impressive 20,000 puffs disposable vape, inspired and endorsed by Dennis Rodman himself, features a slick dual texture design for a better grip, a chewy rubber mouthpiece for easier mouth to device contact, and a USB-C fast charging plus an efficient LED indicator so you can keep score of battery and juice levels. Easily adjust airflow using the switch at the base of the device, and you're all set to take the world on like a champ. Available in 14 unique flavors with bestsellers like Waterman, Blue Raz, and Cool Mint, and a one-of-a-kind flavors like Asahi Berry and Strawberry Ropes, Rodman delivers both quality and quantity. Now also available in nicotine pouches like Zyn, but tastier. Go to Rodman9K.com to get your head in the game with Rodman 20K. Disposables and nicotine pouches. As a special deal for our listeners, Rodman by Aloha Sun is offering 20% off your first purchase with the code DRINKBRO. Again, that's 20% off with the code DRINKBRO.
What is up? Welcome back to Tomahawked. I am your host, Rob Fox. I'm joined, as always, by Dan Holloway. And this year just keeps getting shittier and shittier.
Yeah.
Is all. I don't know how else to start. I actually could start out by thanking Juan Navarro for rubbing our shitty year in our face.
Yeah, Juan Navarro is a cunt. So the day, like literally, well, 2 days after... Acuna goes out for the year. He sent us a goddamn bobblehead of Acuna in the mail.
Sweet.
Asshole.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate that. Is he a Marlins fan?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is like, that's like getting picked on by a retarded person. Basically, like, all right, dude, you're still retarded. I got to go home.
Let's calm down. But yeah, we appreciate the gift. We'll add that somewhere to the set, maybe next to Randy's bobblehead or something. But yeah. We'll get to Acuna in a minute, but I actually wanted to talk to you about some, and the whole year and all that shit, but I want to talk to you about bigger baseball news to start out, because I wanted to get your opinion on this. We actually, me and Delco were in a heated debate with Ross before RPR yesterday over the new addition to MLB records, the Negro League stats, or sure. some percentage of Negro League stats being added to the Major League record, which resulted in actually quite a bit less change than people were kind of saying, either positively or negatively. Josh Gibson is now the all-time career leader in OPS, batting average. I think he has the single-season OPS record, maybe. He is actually, they didn't mention this, but he's also the WRC Plus leader on Fangraphs now for career at 202. He topped Ty Cobb for average. But yeah, for the most part, I was looking through because Fangraphs immediately added it all to their database as well. And I didn't see a bunch of changes, but what are your thoughts on this in general? Because there's always a debate with or without, like, about older stats, like Babe Ruth, for example. It's like, well, he didn't play against everybody or, you know, anyone before 47 and really before probably 57 didn't really play against the whole talent pool of at least Americans that were available.
I have, there's 2 points there. One is, who knows how competitive the Negro Leagues were?
Yeah.
Right? Probably not as competitive as Major League Baseball, frankly, right? Who knows how the rules were enforced there? So they're basing this on, quote-unquote, verified box scores that they were able to find.
Yes.
All that means is that some asshole fucking made pencil marks on a piece of paper at some point. That
I think it was.
Anything.
I think it's published box scores,
right? But that doesn't mean right? Yeah. on the other hand, you and I have both agreed on this for years now. Major League Baseball records before integration are dubious at best,
right?
And not just that, but in the same way that the NBA and ABA before the merger had a bunch of fucking like used car salesmen playing spots, that was obviously the case in Major League Baseball as well, and probably the Negro Leagues as well. You just got to fill out a fucking roster at some point. So I don't really give a shit. And I think Josh Gibson's probably one of the top five hitters of all time, based on what I've read about him and things like that. Before all this wokeness started, I'm talking about in the 90s when I first started following baseball history. Mm-hmm. I mean, people were like, Josh Gibson was the best baseball player that ever lived, probably.
He featured, I think, pretty heavily in one of the early episodes of Ken Burns Baseball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, so unofficially, he would have accounted for 932 home runs or something like that.
They're only counting, I think, 160 on the actual record.
Total.
Yeah. Because a lot of those...
That's his career total.
Yeah.
Okay. So if he had played... I think he played 18 seasons. He had a pill addiction problem, right? That's why he didn't... So if you read the history of why Jackie Robinson was selected, Satchel Paige would just happen to be having arm problems at the time.
Yeah.
He got over them and then eventually came to the major leagues. But right. he just happened... I mean, it was bad luck for him because, to be honest... He also had a bit of a fucking temper,
mm-hmm.
and Jackie Robinson was a stoic. He was a captain in the army during fucking World War II and shit like that. And Josh Gibson just had problems.
Right.
Like, he was a fucking drunk asshole. No word on him being, like, abusive or a criminal or anything. He just liked pills.
Right.
You know what I mean?
So you needed a Boy Scout.
You needed a Boy Scout that was going to fucking be a whipping boy, literally. You needed Kunta Kente.
Yeah.
That was, like, seriously going to sit there. I know that's fucked up, but seriously going to sit there and take all that shit, which Jackie Robinson did. Made him, and it sent him to an early grave as well, right? So we don't respect that dude nearly enough. Like, however much you respect him, it's not enough. But, I don't think that baseball purists who are against this are racist. I think that's stupid. The one opinion that I really liked was our friend Ryan Spader, who wrote, I mean, he's a baseball historian,
right,
and a statistician. He knows, that dude knows more about the history of baseball than any human being I've ever met in my life, by a wide margin. I've never met anybody that knows this much about the game. And from his perspective, he talks about how this is just Major League Baseball trying to whitewash their historical problems, right? This is their version of tearing down Confederate statues. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, let's make it like that never happened.
Right.
Well, it did happen though, right? So integrating it back in, people are going to look back in history like, oh, this guy was, you're trying to compare apples to oranges, and you don't see, it's important to recognize where you came from,
mm-hmm.
right? Those who forget history are doomed to repeat it. I think somebody said that 1,000 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just he says segregation stands as a dark chapter in American history, a chapter that should serve as a stark reminder of the enduring struggle for equality and justice in our society today. And I agree with that. I think this was a mistake, frankly. I think it's Major League Baseball trying to not accept responsibility for what they did back in the day to some degree. Now, it's not entirely. I don't care, frankly, about this.
Looking through, I did a dive on Fangraphs. Mm. I honestly, kind of hilariously, like, I know they were gassing up, like, oh, Josh Gibson's the leader, and this not. It didn't affect almost anything. Like, for the top, I couldn't find a Negro League player in the top, like, 100 for home runs. I couldn't find, same with RBI. They played way shorter schedules, for one. I think a Negro League season was, like, 60 to 70 games. So on counting stats, which is all we really care about for, like, historical stuff.
Yeah.
Basically no effect. I mean, because batting average is like kind of a big one, but it's a dead stat. I guarantee you, if you ask 10 baseball fans who the all-time career batting average leader was, 3 get it right. Maybe.
I mean, I thought it was Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Yeah.
At 363, but it's Cobb at 367, right? It was.
6, yeah. Yeah,
366.
Yeah. I think now it's Gibson at 370 or whatever. But one thing we know, too, is that, or one thing we talk about all the time, or it goes unspoken to a lot with baseball fans, is that if there's one thing we really don't give a shit about across eras, it's rate stats.
Mm.
Like, no one acts like, you know, anyone from the 1930s with an ERA at 2.202 is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, I don't give a shit.
Right.
So, what a lot of people don't know is from the inception of baseball, let's say in the 1870s or mm-hmm. so, mid-1870s forward, until the latter part of the aughts, the 19-aughts, pitching was considered a courtesy. You just fucking, it was coach's pitch, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
You just kind of grooved it down the middle and let whatever happen, which is interesting because I think the season home run record was 12 at that time.
Yeah.
Right. And they didn't have a fence for a very long time either until I think like the late part of the 19th century, they started to integrate fences.
And probably not even in all ballparks.
No, it wasn't until I think like 1908 that all ballparks had them. And then you had things like the Polo Grounds, which is 455 to dead center and then 215 down the corners. Right. So it wasn't like standard. Imagine taking every game played this season and putting it in Polo Grounds. The home run totals may go up or go down depending on the player, right?
Yeah.
So you like even the counting stats from back then are kind of dubious to some degree. So I don't really. I mean, who fucking cares?
Yeah, it is. I agree with you. There's a bit of whitewashing or a bit of.
Well, to be clear, that's Spader's point, but I do agree with it to some degree.
I don't know if it's an empty gesture or a nice gesture, but what should be noted is despite the post celebrating Josh Gibson's OPS or whatever, doesn't change much in terms of actual records or anything like that. Actually, one interesting thing is they haven't added it yet, but they might end up doing it. I don't know if they've done the full collection of stats to drop in yet. It might add 5 homers to Hank Aaron's total.
That'd be funny.
Yeah. Not quite enough to pass Bonds. They could get up to... they could find a few more, but they like you said, it has to be like published official box scores, and the record keeping was not great for the Negro Leagues. But Hank Aaron will probably have home runs added to his total, which is funny. Yeah. And then
I mean, it's not going to be a great deal because despite being the career home run leader, I think he only hit 40 home runs one time his entire career.
Yeah,
He hit 20 or more for 20 seasons.
Yeah. He's a machine.
In Major League Baseball, that's after his time in the Negro Leagues from 16 to 20, I think.
Yeah.
He played in the Negro Leagues and then 21 on.
Right.
20 years in a row, he had fucking 20 home runs. That's wild as shit. Nobody will ever do that again. Nobody can fucking stay. Like, the guys who have the ability to do that are Mike Trout, and he can't even stay on the field.
Right.
So.
And then, I mean, yeah, I don't even know who else would be. Obviously, like, Acuna can't stay on the field. We'll talk about that in a minute. One thing I want to know, too, I looked this up. So Gibson's OPS, people are like, whatever, you know, who is he playing against? I will say this. At some point, that OPS, and again, they're not counting all the barnstorming games and stuff like that. It is still official Negro League games. Mm-hmm. I looked at Shohei Ohtani's highest OPS for a season he had in Japan, which to me is somewhat equivalent.
The current Japanese league is more akin to Major League Baseball than the Negro Leagues were to Major League Baseball, probably, frankly, right? Because it is a long-standing, well-regulated professional organization with a farm system all the way back through high school and college, right? Probably better, but who cares, right? Let's just say it's the same.
Yeah.
For that sake.
His highest OPS ever in the Japanese leagues was when he was 21, I think, and it was 1,004.
That's a good season.
Right.
I mean, that's a great season. A great single season, right? But that's not like Barry Bonds' career OPS, I think, is 1,100 or some shit, isn't it? It's over 1,000.
Barry Bonds,
His career fucking on-base percentage is 444.
Yeah, his career OPS is 1,051.
So just high of Ohtani's career high in the Japanese league.
Yeah.
Just
but
higher.
At 21, I mean, he's...
Yeah, great.
Yeah,
no question.
And, you know, Soto came into the league at 19 and put up a 900 OPS in the major leagues. Mm-hmm. And right now, Ohtani is arguably the best hitter in Major League Baseball and has been for two years, maybe.
He is the best.
Yeah.
I think there's been some talk about should he just be a hitter and forget about pitching. And I think that he should close. I've said this for 4 years on the show now.
Yeah.
Make him a fucking closer. There's nobody that's going to be more lights out as a closer. He's got the constitution for it. He's got the fucking velocity for it. Make him the closer and limit his exposure to injury and then fucking let him hit every game. God damn it.
I mean, he's worth that contract alone.
Even as a closer, right?
Yeah.
For real. Like, if you put him on a winning team like the Dodgers are, he's gonna save 40 to 50 games a year.
Yeah.
Like every year.
He came out and closed the World Baseball Classic.
Yep.
Fucking
against Mike Trout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like let him fucking do it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand why they haven't done that. Why expose him to more potential injury like that when he's so valuable on both sides of the ball? It doesn't make sense to me. I don't care. Fuck him, right? He's a Dodger, so I don't care, but
Back to just one more thing with the Negro League stuff. I mostly just find it interesting. It really, at the end of the day, like it is. I wouldn't engage in any culture war arguing over it because it really is just like a non-issue to me. Mm-hmm. Like it affects almost nothing. So Major League Baseball gets their sappy little PR play where it's like, look, he's the leader now in this category that no one pays attention to. Like it used to be when Gibson played, and probably all the way up to the 90s before the home run race, batting title was a big deal.
Yeah.
Batting title used to be the thing.
Yeah.
Like when Ty Cobb played, when Babe Ruth played,
sure,
batting title was it. So batting average used to be the stat. It's like you have to. I mean, now who won the batting title is a trivia question.
I don't know who won it last year. I think Mookie Betts won last year.
Arez won last year.
Arez, yeah, that's right.
But who won the American League batting title?
If I had to guess, let's play some trivia here. American League batting title last year. Fuck, man. I don't even know where to start, to be honest. I mean, maybe Altuve. I think he did pretty well last year.
I don't see him in the top 30. He might not have qualified. It was Yandy Diaz of the Tampa Bay Rays with a .330 batting average.
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
I wasn't even close.
Yeah, and then Corey Seager was second with .327. But that used to be the fucking stat, but no one cares about batting average anymore. And OPS is a nerd stat. WRC plus is even more of a nerd stat. It's just, you know, it's a fun argument. But yeah, I don't think that the Negro League stats are any more egregious or non egregious than like a ML stat from 1884.
No.
You know what I mean?
No, I mean like there's there are people that are still officially on the record books, like Nat LaJoie and a couple of other people,
mm-hmm,
that started and played the bulk of their careers in the 1890s and early 2000s, like that, or early 1900s. That's nothing.
Right.
Like you were it was literally a hobby and you're counting your stats. It's like fucking going to the gym and be like, oh, fuck, it scored 30 points a game summer.
Drop the YMCA scoring title.
Yeah, it's like, all right, dude, come on now.
Yeah, fucking sweet. But yeah, it was interesting. It is fun to dive through. You on Fangraphs in particular, by the way, you can sort through league by league as well. So that was kind of fun to play around with and just look at that shit. But yeah, anyway, next up.
Oh, you know, I was just looking at wins above replacement for the year. Right now, do you know who's leading all of Major League Baseball and WAR? If you had to guess,
Kyle Tucker,
Gunnar Henderson,
really?
And he's on pace right now for 54 home runs and 123 RBI.
That guy's a fucking animal.
Now he's 22. So, and this is his second full. This is his sophomore year, technically. Like he had a cup of coffee in 22, but last year was his first full season. And he's gotten quite a bit better this year. He's a left-handed batter, and he's hitting .294 against lefties this year. And last year he hit .209 against them. I don't know that I've seen a sophomore guy come in and get markedly better in his second year like that in a very long time. I can't think of anybody off the top of my head because usually there's a bit of a sophomore slump.
Yeah,
I think Trout got markedly better in his first year, in his second year.
Yeah.
Acuna, I think, was better in his second year, but it's very rare that you see that. Especially for a left-hander facing lefties, yeah. It's really rare.
Acuna was not markedly better, I don't think.
But he didn't he didn't regress, I don't think, his second year.
Actually, Trout, exact same wins above replacement in his first and second year, 10.1 on each, which is goddamn insane.
Yeah.
Although, actually, he played in like 20 less games his first year, but I mean, when you're above 10, you're above 10.
Yeah, no shit.
Like, it's at that point, it's just fucking insane.
I mean, there have only been a couple of dozen 10-plus WAR non-pitcher seasons ever in the history of baseball. I
think. Yeah.
Even in the 1920s when Murderers Row was out there. Yeah. So, at any rate, now we get to the depressing part.
The Braves. Depressing, I guess. I think that our World Series victory is confirmed.
Well, we'll see, right? We'll see what Anthopoulos does. I'm hearing a lot of smoke about Jock Peterson right now, right?
Love that.
Because
he's having a great year.
He's having he's having one of his best years in a long time. He's playing on Arizona, who's five games below 500. We'll see how they do over the next month.
Yeah.
If by the break, well, let's call it a month and a half, because I think the All-Star game is like the 12th of July this year. If they don't, as a team, turn it around, they're probably, because he's on one-year deals, I think, they're probably going to fucking ship him out. He might be on a three-year, but even then, I would still take that deal.
I think he went 1 year with the Giants, and now, oh no, he's on a 1 year deal right now.
Yeah.
One year, $12 million.
That is a real possibility. And then what you would probably see, this is just my opinion, but what you would probably see is him and Duvall platoon in right field for the rest of the year, which is, I'm perfectly fine with that.
Well, Kelnick is still dog shit against lefties.
Yeah.
But Jock is a lefty as well. So there would be a platoon issue somewhere.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I don't know how they're going to handle this. Now, if you look at the available or outfielders that would, because there are no outfielders in our fucking farm system that are coming to help.
No,
that's not a thing.
Farm system is, we've got a couple nice pitchers and stuff like that, but it's on the low end of the major leagues right now, because they're all in the majors.
But if you look at like high performing outfielders or even mid-tier outfielders that are on teams that definitely don't have a chance of winning anything right now, I don't know how the Red Sox feel about their chances. I think they overperformed early and now it's regressed and they're back at 500, but they're 10 games out of first.
They're not, that East is brutal.
Yeah.
They're not. I don't see it happening.
They have Jaron Duran, who's pretty good, but he's another lefty. I don't think he's going to be on the table. They have one more guy. What the fuck is his name?
Tyler O'Neill?
No, Wyler Abreu.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Tyler O'Neill is another interesting one. Abreu is young. He's 24, so I don't, but he's also left-handed. There's Profar in San Diego. I don't know if they're going to want to fucking shed some people or not.
I don't think they think they're contenders, and I think they are right to think that they can get a wild card
at
spot.
Least for now. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's Brent Rooker, who I think is the most attractive long-term solution in Oakland, but I don't know if they think Kelnick is going to be good enough. And just back to the Acuna part before we move on and think about solutions to this, he'll be back start of next season just as healthy as ever, right?
Yeah.
This particular injury isn't one that is a career ender, typically, right?
No.
As a matter of fact, a lot of times dudes come back stronger from a torn ACL like this. So maybe we'll see. We'll see about that. I don't know. Kevin Pillar is still out there. He's with the fucking White Sox now, I think.
Yeah.
I don't like that, but
so whatever. I was trying to look up and down the list at teams that are definitely not contending right now and also not actively building. So I don't think the Tigers and Pirates are contenders this year, but I do think they're very close and probably aren't willing to deal at like a young piece or a piece that's locked in for another year or two. But the teams I was looking at, and again, I was kind of just trying to go, and I don't know that he's going to operate this way this year, but going off of what Anthopoulos did in 21, if you remember, Jock Peterson was having a fine year or whatever, and was a good player, a known entity, but Soler was having a terrible year. Rosario was having a terrible year.
Yeah.
And then Duvall was fine, but we knew Duvall. He was like a known entity because he had been on the team already in previous years. So I tried to go up and down the list of teams that are on the downslope or just are not even building yet and aren't contending and have outfielders who are worth a shit. And then outfielders who I thought... So with what Anthopoulos did is he took guys who were having down years but were known entities, right? Like Soler was having a bad year, but he was a year removed from a 40-homer season.
Yeah.
And according to the scouts at the time, they were like, he's just missing. He's like the numbers are lying. And Rosario was the same way. He was like a year or two removed from a 30 plus homer season. And look, obviously Rosario's I think probably washed at this point, but at that time there was still something left. They saw something in him. So I was looking up and down at teams who definitely aren't going to make the playoffs in my opinion and have outfielders to move who are either have promise or are having a down year but have been known positive producers in the past. So yeah. Blue Jays, George Springer. I don't know what his deal. I don't know what their deals are. Like, I don't know if Springer's just washed at this point too. Like, oh, he's old or whatever.
Yeah.
He's not that old, but he's older. But I like the idea of. Yeah, he's 34. It's not terrible. I like the idea of a dude like him. He reminds me of Jock Peterson, fiery type of guy. Gets the clubhouse going. Brings energy and in a past life, a World Series hero for the Astros and a really good playoff performer for the early Astros dynasty. They also have Dalton Varsho is having a good year.
Yeah.
The Rays, I think they're probably going to punt on this year and try to rebuild a little bit like they do. Randy Arozarena is kind of interesting to me.
He is. I mean, he's having a shitty year, but they're a shitty team too.
Right.
And we've seen, again, to your point, we've seen how that can flip around. With both Soler and Rosario that year for sure.
And a Rosarena only 29, so it's not like he's old and dying. I think he's still in arbitration. He's on a 1 year, $8 million contract right now, so that's fine. And if they, you know, I don't know what's left of his team control, but again, a Rosarena fits the sort of profile of what Anthopoulos did last time. The White Sox, Luis Robert, same situation. He's on the IL right now. Who was it? Rosario was on the IL when we traded for him.
Yeah.
In 21. So Luis Robert could be one. The Angels have Mike Trout.
They also have Taylor Ward, who would cost us quite a bit less. Yeah. And he actually stays on the field.
Yeah.
I like Ward and Trout from that team.
And one thing to note too with these outfielders is that we can pursue a guy who plays shitty defense because Kelnick is good enough to play right field, and so is Duvall.
Yeah.
So if you just move the left field platoon to right field, you don't lose anything on defense. You might actually improve on defense a little bit.
Well, if they pay attention to the game,
that'd be
sweet.
The Angels with Trout and Ward. The A's, I don't know. Their outfield is that great. Estuary Ruiz would not bring in the sort of power that Anthopoulos tried to bring in last time, but maybe they go for more of a contact situation.
But Rooker's a 30 home run guy. He's 29.
Yeah.
I think he's on the tail end of arbitration, 918 OPS this year. He would be in a track. Doesn't play great defense, but he's a good enough left fielder. That would be one that probably wouldn't cost too much. So we'll see. I mean, I don't know what I sincerely haven't seen any indication of what the Braves' plan is to deal with this shit as of yet. Because currently, Acuna is still only on the 10-day IL. They haven't moved into the 60-day IL yet,
right,
which they need to do before they make a big move like that. And I don't see Ozuna making his way back. I mean, like a short-term fix could be Ozuna catching some time left field and Darno DHing like he did 2 years ago or a little bit, right?
That would be probably the best near-term move.
Yeah.
You move because, again, Kelnick not great against left-handed pitching right now.
Yeah. But I also think that I think they want to see how things shake out. June is usually the biggest month of the year for the Braves. They always do their best work in June. I think they probably want to see how Olsen continues to bounce back from a slow start. They want to see how Riley comes back from injury before you make any serious moves, right? Yeah. That's what I would do. So don't get too impatient, Braves fans.
Yeah, no, I don't see this move coming. I mean, it could come quickly, but there's a lot of time. The Rockies, this one's less likely because of the contract, but Chris Bryant.
I like Chris Bryant. I think it would be a great move. I don't give a fuck about the contract. Like, I mean, I'm not paying for his salary, obviously, but the Braves can definitely afford it. The Rockies are going nowhere, and he's wasted there. And also, he is a top tier clubhouse guy.
Yes.
And he can play both corner and field positions, and he can play left field.
Yeah.
Not great left field, but he can play well enough.
He's intelligent enough that, he can play it. Miami has already started dealing. They traded Luis Arraez to the Padres a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
Jazz Chisholm plays center field. He's having a nice year for them.
He's a lefty. I don't know that we need another outfielder that's a lefty, but he's an electric, good clubhouse dude, too. People like him. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's an option. We'll see. I wouldn't mind that, to be honest. And Tyler O'Neill, I would really like. Yes. I don't know why we didn't sign him in the offseason.
He would have been great, and he brings absolutely elite defense. He's on a 1-year deal. He's also on the IL right now, but again, you know, that's AA's done that before, and he's only on the 10-day IL. Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why we didn't, like, yeah, we trade for Kelnick. That makes sense. Why not? We could have spent $5.5 to $6 million on O'Neill as mm-hmm. well. It's mind-boggling that we didn't do that.
It is very, very bizarre that he was available and we were just kind of like, meh. Because his defense, also elite, also mm-hmm. fantastic. I think Kelnick is just... We didn't sign Kelnick to a contract, right?
No, we traded for him.
Right. So he's still in arbitration, mm-hmm. and he probably has... I think so is O'Neill, maybe. But I assume Kelnick just has more team control. And that was...
Yeah. I would assume so, but we don't. Why pick? Get them both.
Yeah, I don't know why. Duvall felt like a weird. I like Duvall, but mm-hmm. he felt like a weird option.
Yeah.
Out of these guys, I mean, is there anyone dream scenario replacement? I don't think it's going to be as. So we traded for 4 outfielders in 2021.
Yeah,
that's not going to be the situation this time, because once Acuna went down, we basically didn't have an outfield.
Yeah. Yeah, it was rough. Yeah, I don't know, to be honest. I mean,
in 2021, was Ender Inciarte the opening day center fielder?
Maybe.
Because that whole outfield was... Because
he was a Gold Glover. We got him from Arizona. Yeah. He had won a Gold Glove. But his bat never really fully developed. I mean, to be honest, hold on, I'm going to look this up. There's no way...
Yep. So the outfield on opening day was Acuna, Christian Pache, Marcelo Zuna, and Ender Inciarte. Marcelo Zuna was hurt, Acuna hurt, and Ender, by the end of the year, or by the middle of the year, his bat had completely died.
Yeah. As far as, like, somebody I would really like to see them pick up, Brian Reynolds is the guy that I've been wanting them to pick up for a couple of years now. He's a quiet professional. And hits well against, he's a switch hitter, hits better against lefties, which fucking neutralizes that bullshit. I don't know. I just felt like they should have picked him up, but it's going to cost, right? Yeah. More than picking up rookies and shit and trying to play that game. I don't know.
I think the Pirates also think that they're close.
Well, they're not. Maybe.
Between Reynolds, Skeens, and...
They've got 3 good pitchers. Yeah. Mitch Keller. They'll do okay, but they're not. It's the same with the Brewers back when they fucking traded for what's his nuts? Lefty, tall guy, New York Yankees. Fuck's his name.
Wow.
Like 2011.
Oh, CC Sabathia.
CC Sabathia, yeah.
I thought you were talking about recently, sorry.
Just pretty much every central team, they're going to have a 2 or 3 year window to be dominant, mm-hmm. and that's it, right? And with the Pirates, they have 2 or 3 year window to be relevant at all.
Yeah.
Maybe they try to capitalize on that. I mean, but there's a lot of people out there that I think would be, that are not necessarily having the best time right now, that would do quite a bit better for the Braves, frankly.
Yeah.
But then again, just get fucking Jock, man. Fucking bring Jock back the pearls. That if I had to pick one guy that I wish we would get Jock, and then you can bring Kevin Pillar on too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like that, I'm defensive fine with that. Yeah. But get Jock back. He's got the magic sauce.
I agree. I completely agree. And Jock, let me look again real quick. I looked at his numbers the other day. He had like a 160 WRC plus. I mean,
he's got like 18 home runs this year, I think.
He's got 6 home runs.
Oh, I'm sorry, not 18 home runs. Hold on.
But he is...
I was just looking at it.
He's got a 169 WRC+. Plus. He's got a OPS in the 900s. Like, he's hitting 306. He's having a great fucking year.
Yeah. 306, that's what I was looking at, yeah.
Yeah.
He's on pace for 18, excuse me.
Which, I don't need him to hit regular season home
runs. No, no. He's on pace for 18, and he only hits against righties, right? Yeah. So he's a 30 home run a season guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely get involved.
I think if I had Jock Peterson, honestly, goes without saying, because I want Jock Peterson. And then I'm trying to think of a right-handed bat. It would be Tyler O'Neill or George Springer. Isn't George Springer right-handed, or is he left-handed?
He's right-handed.
Okay.
Yeah. And that would be a decent move for a couple of years. That would lock down left field for a couple of years. I mean, Springer could play either one of those two guys, like Springer or Neil, could play right field this year to mm-hmm. finish out the season, unless you wanted to flip Duvall and Kelnick over there, because Kelnick is a lead defender as well.
Yeah.
And Duvall is, his arm is not as good, but he's still.
He's a good.
He tracks the ball extremely well.
He was our center fielder when we won the World Series. I mean, it was fucking crazy. Springer is a righty. And I'm going to look at Springer's splits really quick, because his numbers, not great right now, but I wonder if he is just like, maybe he can hit lefties type of situation.
Yeah, I know.
Let's see, advanced stats here. Whatever. I would like, Springer's an interesting one to me, and so is Randy Arozarena. Randy Arozarena could be, you know, the Rays are very much the type of team that will sell as high as they can. And even though Arozarena is not having the best year at all right now, he still has 8 home runs and he can steal bases, and he's a name, right? They can get value off the name potentially.
Yeah, he's in his, this actually was his first year of arbitration. He's got 2 more years of arbitration left.
Okay.
So we're going to get him. If they sign him, depending on how the rest of the season goes, that he may not even get a pay increase next year. So,
yeah,
1 year, $8 million. I mean, they signed a deal with him to avoid arbitration. But as it stands right now, his first year, they signed a deal with him for 4.5. 4.1 mil. This year, 8.1. But he's maybe they keep that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's not going to increase unless his season gets fucking markedly better right now. And to be honest, if the Braves brought him over, they probably, I don't know that they that he would get an increase next year, no matter what he did, even if they won the World Series, to be honest, because he's gotten off to such a slow start. But baseball's a long-ass season. Anything can happen.
And it should be worth noting in terms of, like, contributors in the playoffs, Randy Arozarena has a 199 WRC+. In the playoffs, and OPS well over 1,000 in 33 games. So as far as postseason goes, not a small sample size. 11 home runs in 33 games. Like, he's legitimately a great postseason player, like Jock Peterson, like George Springer. And I don't know if he's like electric or whatever in the clubhouse, but he seems like a pretty decent guy, like, on that front.
They don't have problem characters on the Rays.
No,
Kevin Cash doesn't put up with that shit. You're gone.
Yeah. So.
Wouldn't mind seeing it. We'll see how it goes, I guess. Shit.
Real quick, we got gambling picks after this. Before we get into that, we will talk about our sponsors. We got a couple today because we didn't do a Monday morning recap. But first is MyBookie. Go to MyBookie.com to double your first deposit up to $1,000. You put in $1,000, they'll give you $1,000. Put in $500, they'll give you $500, whatever. You know the deal. You can bet on baseball, any fucking sport you can imagine. We're about to give you our baseball picks. We have our casino show that goes out on Fridays as well. You can play blackjack and roulette, and I think a couple other games. I kind of want to get on the roulette table tomorrow. We'll play blackjack too, but I kind of want to do a couple games of roulette just to fuck around and see how that is, because it's the same situation as with blackjack, where it's just a camera on a real roulette wheel. It's not some, you know, video game bullshit. But yeah, mybookie.com is where you can bet on absolutely anything. They also have prop bets for the first presidential debate, which you went through the other day. So you can bet on that, all types of politics stuff, whatever you want. Go to mybookie.com, use the promo code Drinking Bros to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Next up, we have got First Form. Go to firstform.com/drinkingbros to get your micro factors and have a chance to be the Drinking Bro of the Month with every order. That is 1STPHORM.com/drinkingbros. And you get the micro factors, you get everything. Micro factors are great. Ross takes them every day. I like to steal them off the desk sometimes when I'm feeling a little down. Got an antioxidant, a multivitamin, a probiotic, CoQ10, essential fatty acids, fruit and veggies. I'm also a big fan of their liver pills. Mm-hmm. Took some of those this morning.
Yeah, you. If anybody in this office needs them, it's you.
Feel spry as ever taking those liver pills.
Yep.
Back pain's gone. Liver pills are great. We love their energy drinks, and they have my favorite beef sticks on the planet.
Man, they're
really
good. They
actually need to send us more because we go through those so fast. The jalapeno in particular is real. Oh, actually, their cheddar.
The new cheddar ones are fucking good.
Yeah.
That's the best one now.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
So I went from like jalapeno. I like the Cajun ones as well. Mm-hmm. Jalapeno, Cajun are one, two for me until cheddar. Now cheddar is the best.
Their cheddar beef stick is fucking fantastic.
It's really good.
Again, go to firstform.com/drinkingbros. That's 1STPHORM.com/drinkingbros. Next up, we've got BioProtein. Go to BioProtein. I'm sorry, I forgot the website here. Yeah, no, BioProtein Tech. Head on over to BioProteinTech.com to learn more and click on the link in our bio and use the code DRINKINBROS. You get 30% off your first order. What is BioProtein?
BioProtein is a mix of a couple of other things. One, there's melatonin in it, so you take it at night.
Yeah.
Helps you sleep. It's the only sleep aid I've ever taken that actually, that both worked and didn't make me drowsy in the morning. In addition to that, it has chemicals or supplements inside of it that help you produce more natural HGH, which is going to make muscle fiber tighter. It's going to make fat stay around less. It's going to make your tendons and ligaments stronger, make your eyesight better in some cases as well. So it doesn't reverse the aging process, but it does have some side effects that make it seem that way, frankly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, wine ages better in a cellar than out in the sun. Right.
Yes, yeah,
like yep. You need wine, you know, there's the saying age like wine, but yeah. you have to still do things to make wine age like wine.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it will get fucked. Same with your body. So go to BioProtein. I'm sorry. First, this thing is messing up for me. BioProteinTech.com and learn more. Click on the link in our bio. Use the code DRINKINBROS for 30% off your first order. Highly, highly recommend this stuff. All right, let's get into the gambling picks.
Well, wait, there's another thing here. We need some pitching help.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I forgot about that. I don't think we can stand pat the Braves with just adding outfielders.
I agree.
We need something in the rotation as well. If we want to make it one big deal, there's a couple teams that are on the previous list that also have pitching they could probably give away, including the Blue Jays, who have a couple really good guys, Berrios, Kikuchi, and our old friend Kevin Gausman, who I kind of regret ever letting go because he's one of the best pitchers in the American League. The White Sox have Clevinger, and also Fetty's having a nice year.
I think Fetty is the guy we should be going after for a number of reasons. One, he's a little bit more mature. Like, the Braves farm system is going to be good because we develop pitching specifically very well. We draft and develop pitching very well. So if we should be looking for 2 to 3 years of coverage in the same way we did the old man on our team right now. Charlie Morton, yes.
Yeah.
that should be our focus right now. Fetty is on, his deal expires after next season. So if he doesn't get traded this year, he's definitely getting traded next year because the White Sox have no hope in sight.
Nope.
Right?
They're in a full rebuild.
Right? He's got a 107 whip, and he's signed to this year and next year for an AAV of 7.5 mil. Totally fucking reasonable for a guy that performs this way. I definitely think the Braves should go out and get this motherfucker.
I think
package 2 or 3 of the fucking young pitchers you have now, send them over there and see if the White Sox can work them out. But he has whatever has been going on or went on in his career with the Nationals. He went to the White Sox and figured that shit out.
Well, he went to the Korean League
for a year. Yeah.
Yeah.
Year,
figured yeah. it out. Came yeah. back. I mean, yeah, he's not quite at like the K per nine level that Anthopoulos, I think, tends to seek out. But
no, but his K per walk level has doubled basically year over year.
Yes.
Right. Which is like, that means you're not just commanding, but you're commanding the strike zone specifically. Right.
Yeah.
You're missing bats, which is nice. And that's the kind of guy you can work with. You put him under the Braves management, he's going to do really well.
Mm-hmm.
Put him in that clubhouse with Morton. Like, he's going to become a Morton type. Morton had the same kind of career, by the way.
Yeah.
Sucked for like 6 years. Went to Houston, was okay for a while. Went to Tampa Bay, got a little bit better. Came to us and got, actually, I think his best years have been with us, frankly.
Yeah.
This is the kind of thing that Anthopoulos has done. So Fetty makes a lot of sense.
Be cool. I really wonder where the White Sox or the Red Sox are at in terms of where they think they are, because I would also be very interested in either Nick Pivetta or Tyler Hawk or Tanner Hawk. Is it?
Hawk.
He went to Mizzou and I never remember his name. Tanner Hawk. Yeah, he is having a great fucking year. He is pretty young, all things considered. Let's see here. Yeah, he's 27, probably, I assume, still in arbitration. I just don't know. 27 is like a weird age, right, where the Red Sox, they're not horrible, but what are they? I don't know if they think they're going to be good in a year or two or in 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. Who knows? I mean, it's the Red Sox, so they can afford to hang on to somebody for a little bit longer. 2025 will be his first year of arbitration, so he has 3 more years of team control.
Okay, yeah, yeah, he's only making $770,000.
Yep.
So they might hang on to him just because of the control, but I mean, he's having a fucking great year. 1.90 ERA, 2.5 wins above replacement. I'm trying to see, yeah, WHIP is under 1. Mm-hmm. That would be an interesting one. And then Nick Pivetta, I like Nick Pivetta.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good, he's a big time performer. Doesn't get rattled. He can fight through tough innings and stuff like that, which can be important in the playoffs. Yeah, I like that guy.
He's only 31. I'm trying to see his contract here, but it's not listed on Fangraphs for some reason. One year, seven. So he's in arbitration too, I would imagine. He's not having the best year, but he strikes more dudes out than the other two we mentioned. He's at almost 10 strikeouts per 9. And his expected fielding independent pitching is about a run lower than his actual ERA. Mm.
This is his last year of arbitration. He signed a 1-year $7.5 million. He's an unrestricted free agent after this year, so he might be somebody to look into as well to pick up.
You know what he would feel like to me is sort of like the Rangers picking up Jordan Montgomery last year. That, like, who is a good pitcher, a sturdy, solid dude, but not necessarily like, you know, he's not like Jacob DeGrom or something. Like,
we need a 4-5 guy. We don't need a fucking 2-1-2 guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So whatever.
I agree. We have 1-2. Mm-hmm. We got Fried and Sale. We're good
to
go.
We have 1-2-3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
In my opinion, I think Lopez is a legit 3 in Major League Baseball.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I mean, he's not slowing down.
Not including, now he's got a 1.75 ERA and a 1.09 WHIP. And by the way, Charlie Morton's doing pretty well as well. So we need a 5th starter.
Yes.
Mostly. Like, I think Morton has been keyed in mostly as the 4th starter lately, and he has good games and bad games, right? He's 40 years old, for Christ's sake. But we need a 4-5 right now.
Yeah, I think the Red Sox, White Sox, interesting. The Blue Jays, I'm less sure on, but man, I would kill for Kevin Gausman. Anyway, now let's get into this week's gambling picks. Again, we make them at mybookie.com. Use promo code DRINKINBROS to double your first deposit up to $1,000. Again, I'm going Friday, but I'm kind of going out on a limb here. I'm taking what I believe will be 2 underdogs in this parlay. So this could be a huge payout if it actually pays out. First up, kind of a surprise team. Cardinals, taking the Cardinals over the Phillies, even though they have Miles Mikolas going against Aaron Nola. Cardinals are 12-3 in their last 15 games. There was a news story the other day. Paul Goldschmidt, I guess, texted Adam Wainwright, and Goldschmidt's kind of a stoic type, not the guy to say shit like this. He said, we're winning this fucking division. So the Cardinals seem to have some sort of fire lit under their ass after the whole city's basically turned on them and been like, why are you at such absolute dog shit? My assumption is the Cardinals will be a dog in that game. So I take the Cardinals there. Orioles over the Rays. Love the Orioles. Hate the Rays. Don't care. Red Sox over the Tigers. I think Tanner Houck is actually pitching that game, so that's why I like that. Dodgers over the Rockies. That is what that is. Walker Buehler's back, actually, and he's pitching. He's not pitching great, but it is in L.A., not Colorado. So
yeah, it's going to take some time for him to get his legs under him. I'm not worried about him.
Yeah. And then a great pitching duel to end it out on the West Coast. Giants over the Yankees. Jordan Hicks versus Marcus Stroman. My assumption is the Giants will be a underdog in that game, plus money. Just because the Yankees are insane, but with Hicks on the mound. I mean, the Giants aren't bad. They're in second place right now, and Hicks has been their best pitcher this year. So I'll take that. I'll take plus money on that.
The Giants' offense sucks, but they can pitch.
Yeah.
So we'll see about that. Let's see.
And you know what? That's how they won all those World Series. They really did not have a notable like hitter on those teams. I mean, at one point, the middle of their lineup was either fucking the fat Buster, panda.
Yeah, it was Buster Posey.
He was the only one.
And
who's the weirdo? The wide-eyed weirdo.
Wide-eyed weirdo.
They got him from he wore the socks up high. They got him from
what position?
Astros outfield.
I don't know.
You're talking about Hunter?
Hunter what?
Oh yeah. No, no, he played. Ah, fuck! I can see his face in my head. He played for the Brewers too.
Played for the Phillies too.
He did play for the Phillies.
Hunter Pence.
Yeah. Hunter Pence was like one of their best hitters that year. Yeah. I mean,
and he hit like 21 home runs or some shit.
Yeah, look, I mean, listen to this lineup: Buster Posey's great, obviously, but Brandon Belt, Joe Panik, Crawford's all glove, Pablo Sandoval. Better in the postseason kind of than it was in the regular season. Morse and Hunter Pence. Yeah.
Lineup, yeah. And even the first one was just swap out Brandon Belt for Aubrey Huff, who right. He had a great year. He hit like 34 home runs or whatever, but I don't think he was pretty good in the playoffs too, but it wasn't like they didn't have somebody in the top 5 or 10 MVP voting.
No.
Other than maybe Posey one of those years. But
Posey won an MVP one of those years.
Yeah. But so that's the only one I can think of. So yeah, they did it mostly with pitching. I'm doing Sunday. Because I think there's a lot of good matchups. First is Baltimore at home over the Rays. The Rays are tumbling quickly, and the Orioles are great, and they have Kevin Bradish going. He's fucking knocking it out this year. Braves over the A's because it's in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. If it was in Oakland, I would not make this bet because I don't know what the fuck's going on out there, but it's Chris Sale versus some dude I've never heard of, so good luck.
The only reason I didn't take that game on Friday is because of the pitching matchup was kind of even.
Yeah, it's the back end of our rotation then. Let's see. The next one I took is, and there, by the way, Sunday, if you don't have anything going on, there's some really good pitching matchups. The Pirates and Blue Jays, Keller versus Kikuchi, that's a really good fucking matchup. And then the one of the night games is Yankees, or I'm sorry, not Yankees, it's Cardinals Phillies, and it's Sonny Gray versus Ranger Suarez. That's going to be a great fun game too.
Yeah.
I'm not betting any of those because it's too. It's just who the fuck knows what's going to happen. Brewers at home versus the White Sox. Gasser's going for the Brewers. He's been great this year, 2-0, 196 ERA. The White Sox are not a real baseball team.
Actually, I didn't take that game either on Friday because Fetty was pitching on Friday.
Yeah, fuck that. I'm not betting against him right now. Then I'm taking the Tigers over the Red Sox. Red Sox stink this year at Fenway for some reason. I don't know what's going on there.
That's weird.
And also Olsen for Detroit is... He's 1-5, but he's got a 192 ERA and his whip's low. Like I think they're going to win that game.
Dude, Detroit low key has a great rotation. Jack Flaherty is back to form, and Tarek Skubal is—he's awesome.
Yep. And then Royals over the Pods. I know the Pods are starting to play a little bit better recently, but the Royals have Marsh going, and Joe Musgrove has sucked out loud this year. Yep. He's got almost a 6 ERA. Indians over the Nationals. The Nationals are not a real team. And Lively's pitching for Cleveland. He's really good. What was the other one? Let's see. Phillies over the Cardinals. I actually did have that in here. I guess I'll take it. Fuck it. Ranger Suarez is going. He doesn't lose.
Yeah.
He doesn't lose right now.
He's been incredible this year.
Well, I might. That's the one that I might pull.
That's the night game, right?
Yeah.
But you could hedge at least.
Yeah. Well, the last game that I bet was Rockies Dodgers. And that's Yamamoto's going for the Dodgers. After that first rough game, he's been pretty smooth sailing.
And the Rockies aren't a real
team. The Rockies can't score, so I think you're going to get really good odds on that. Keep an eye on that Phillies and Dodgers game, to be honest. You could cash out after the Indians game if you get them all.
Yeah, 100%. Or at least hedge. You know, you can at least, if you don't want to cash out, you can at least just put whatever you bet. Right. If you bet $100, just put $100 on that game to hedge it out. But yeah, that is our gambling picks for this week. That's all we got. I have faith in Alex. That's all I really.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. See you next week.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.